One, two, three. This is Dr. Alex Avila with Ludlow University, and we're back. Now, this is a very exciting day today because we're here live at the Miami Book Festival in the city of Miami, Florida. We're interviewing a lot of great authors and people with a lot to say. And every week we talk about how to love ourselves, others, and a higher nature. I'm a psychologist, author, and speaker. And today we're fortunate to have a very esteemed guest named Pedro Cabilla, a Puerto Rican-born cultural critic, novelist, academic, and producer. He won the Best Book of the Year award by Pen Club International for his book, Historias Tremendas. He has published various novels to critical acclaim. He has 5 children. He's in love with the most beautiful woman in the world.
I am. Thank you.
Now, first of all, I have to ask you, why is she the most beautiful woman in the world?
Well, she's the most beautiful woman in the world because...
And she's over there listening right now.
How do I put it? Our respective neuroses are very compatible.
Oh, okay, interesting.
So
okay.
She finds me the most handsome man in the world, and I find her the most beautiful woman in the world.
Don Quixote and Dulcinea.
Don Quixote and Dulcinea, that's right.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I talk about people have a little bit of personality elevation in certain areas. So if you match with somebody, that's going to be good.
Yeah.
But you also mean something else. I mean, is she beautiful apart? Is there something about her?
She's beautiful physically.
Yes.
And she's a very kind-hearted woman.
Excellent.
And that is one of my weaknesses. Kind-hearted people.
I agree with that. Yeah, that makes a person beautiful because inside they have that beauty inside that they can express. Now, they say that your stories are grotesque representations of Puerto Rican and Caribbean culture.
Some of them.
Obsession with sex, violence, and personal interconnections. Yeah. What does that mean?
Well, that's for Trance, one of my earlier novels.
Yes.
It's called Trance.
Uh-huh.
That was true for that novel. I wanted to paint a picture, a very hyper-realistic picture,
yes,
of all the violence that we're living in Puerto Rico at the time.
Yes.
Related to the drug trafficking and colonial violence,
yes,
in general. The violence done by policemen, but also the violence done by criminals. Mm. And the book, it paints that landscape in the context of a higher mystical adventure that is going on. I cannot talk about it because that would spoil the novel.
I see. This is a book that's come out before or a new book?
No, that came out before. And
yes,
the one that I'm presenting today, not today, but during the Miami Book Fair.
Yes.
It's the prequel for that one.
Yes.
Which exploits the more zany, comical, parodic, satirical side of this whole landscape that can be very, very, very violent and scary, but it's also very funny.
Okay, now you have Wicked Weeds coming out. Is that the same one or is that?
No, that came out in 2016.
Yes.
In English, and won the prize for a best fantasy book.
Wow.
In 2016.
So it's kind of like a zombie, something sci-fi.
It is a zombie narrative. It is narrated by a zombie. How would a zombie feel like? A person with no feelings.
Yes.
A person not only with no feelings, but a person who cannot recognize that the emotions that are actually being triggered inside him belong to him. Because he lacks that humanity that tells you, I am who I am, and I am feeling happy, I am feeling sad, I am feeling in love. He cannot do that. So it's a book about his misadventures.
Yeah. It sounds like someone who has major depression, like someone in society that's cut off from their feelings.
That's exactly
and
right.
They're also numbing themselves. You know, like I work with a lot of PTSD clients.
Mm-hmm. Do they feel like that?
Trauma victims, right? So they basically try to cut themselves off from emotion because of the pain from the past.
So if they could not recognize if they fall in love or they're...
Yes, they cannot. They're like numb. It's like self-numbing. Mm-hmm. Some people do it through alcohol, drug, sex, or some other things. But a zombie is a science fiction creation.
Yeah, in this case.
Right.
In this case, the spoiler of the big reveal.
Yes.
Of the...
Now, should you do that or not?
I don't know.
All right, well, tell me a little bit about it.
Maybe I'll tell you later when we're not in the air.
So the zombie is a human.
It is a human.
Hey, how did I figure that out?
It's not really he feels like a zombie.
Ah.
Because what he feels, he has seen before in all the zombie movies that he knows about.
Okay.
But he's actually suffering from something more clinical, more
psychological disorder, maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty interesting. Well, I think the Terminator, wasn't he a robot that wanted to be human?
He was a robot, yeah.
And then kind of went
back and forth. He came from the future.
Exactly. So you have a lot of interesting books. Now, you have a book that may be even political. Now, we were talking earlier about Catholicism and things like that. Mm-hmm. Are you switching to a political kind of theme in your books?
In this one, I am. It's called Tercer Mundo. This is the one that I'm presenting in the fair. But it's kind of it is a satire.
Ah, okay. So it's
humorous. But it includes, but it is also a parable of the political corruption, the social corruption.
Yes.
That Puerto Rico is suffering at the moment.
Really?
And to do that, my cast of characters are all these supernatural, yes, Caribbean folklore characters.
Okay. Do you
like Chango.
Oh, yeah, Santeria. I was going to say.
Like Santeria characters.
Yamaya.
And more.
Wow.
And there are many more.
Oh, okay.
Of the Caribbean pantheon.
Oh, interesting.
Because there's Santeria, but there's also the voodoo,
yes,
okay, pantheon,
okay,
of the Haiti and the Dominican Republic.
Wow.
So they're all agents,
yes,
right, in this administration that is interfering,
yes,
in ordinary life of Puerto Ricans and Caribbean people.
Interesting. So why did you choose orishas and other spiritual
I think there are superheroes. I think if we think about a Marvel or DC,
yes,
universe,
right,
strictly Caribbean, this is it.
Wow.
Those are our superheroes.
Interesting.
That's who you ask for help.
Yes.
If you're in the Caribbean.
I see. Has there been any movies made in Puerto Rico about orishas as superheroes?
Not yet.
That could be you, right?
Maybe that's what I'll have to do.
That'd be good. But you did mention there's corruption. I thought Puerto Rico was a pretty well-established country, mm-hmm, like financially and all that. But you're telling me they're not doing that well right now.
No. Puerto Rico is a very corrupt.
Oh, really?
A place.
Okay.
It is bankrupt.
That's terrible.
We have an outstanding debt. And we are being, right now, we are being fiscally controlled by a junta, not by a government, not by a democratically elected government, but by a junta assigned by the United States.
Wow.
So we're broke.
Oh.
And we're broke because we have, you know, been corrupt.
Right. Now, as an author, I know you live in Dominican Republic, but do you still have love for the Puerto Rican people?
I see myself as a person who inhabits all these spaces.
Yes.
I see myself as a Caribbean man.
Okay.
And I partake of the Puerto Rican problems. I think,
yes,
the problems in Puerto Rico, they impact problems,
right,
in the Dominican Republic and,
yes,
vice versa.
Right.
We learn from each other the bad things and the good things.
Right.
But yes, I see myself as participant of this bigger thing that I call the Great Caribbean.
Yes. Now, some of your writing maybe even be spiritual. Are you a spiritual person?
I am a very spiritual person.
What is your path? Do you do any kind of
Well, I'm an atheist. I have no affiliation with any religion. I grew up a Catholic.
Right.
But I do believe that We inhabit a very strange place. The universe is a very strange place.
Yes.
And perhaps we're not really living in base reality. That we must be traversing or coursing through dimensions that are also populated.
Right.
With sentient beings. And that's something that I work out in Tercer Mundo, my latest novel.
Yes.
Because all these people inhabit other level or higher planes of existence.
Yes.
But they administer this one.
So you believe in life in outer space, maybe. You believe in other beings that may exist.
Well, that also.
Yes.
But even right now, right here.
In Miami, maybe, in the Book Festival. Are there some weird people walking around here?
Well,
right?
We can't see them. Maybe they can't see us. I don't know.
People.
But they interfere.
Yes.
Maybe we interfere,
uh-huh,
without knowing.
Are they like
into their affairs?
Are they like Allegra, the trickster archetype?
Some are tricksters. Some take it very seriously.
Yes.
But the others are just, they just want to see the our world burn.
Oh, that's pretty negative. Are there any angels or? Good,
well, of course, there are angels
also,
and
life forces too.
Yeah, there are life forces that want to do good, that put us in the right path.
Right.
but always to fulfill a destiny.
Yes.
Which is not always bad. It must be good. I think the universe is moving towards a resolution that is good, that is full of light.
I like that. So you have an optimistic overall view.
I am a very optimistic person.
And it's one of the keys of happiness.
But there are
negative sides,
dark forces. Yes.
That makes sense. So you're kind of balancing that in your writing. You look at both sides of the equation,
yes,
the different energies. Now, como escritor latino, ¿es mejor escribir en español o inglés?
Eso es una gran pregunta.
This is for our Spanish writers, Spanish readers here.
Well, I have written most...
By the way, say it in Spanish first, and then translate.
La mayoría de mi obra yo la he escrito en español.
Sí.
Pero últimamente, las últimas novelas que quiero publicar, las he escrito originalmente en inglés.
Ah, okay.
Viene una que se llama On the Issue of Our Clarification, that is, que está escrita en inglés. Hay otra que es un science fiction, pure science fiction, ciencia ficción pura, que también la voy a escribir en inglés. De manera que yo me estoy moviendo hacia el mundo editorial en inglés.
Okay.
Y me estoy alejando del español.
So basically you're saying that you've written in Spanish before and then translated it to English, but now you're going to write pure English.
Yes.
Now, is that better or worse for the audience?
I don't know.
To have a more pure understanding of you?
I find that there's a generation, even in Latin American countries,
right,
that prefer to read their books in English. That is something really weird. Uh-huh. I don't know how to explain it,
right,
but you see them more and more.
So like people, a new generation, they speak both English and Spanish.
They speak.
But they prefer English.
But they prefer English when they're going to buy their books.
Isn't that kind of sad? Because in America, I live in LA, where a lot of Latinos don't speak Spanish.
But it's our fault.
But they're born here.
It's our fault, I'm going to tell you why. Most of the writers in Spanish are very elitist, very snobbish, you know, and they want to write for writers, not for readers. And this generation is not going to take it. They want to read something that appeals to them, that talks to them, and most of the authors that are doing that are doing it in English.
Interesting. Now, can you be successful as a peer, say for the authors, can you make a good living just writing for a Spanish audience, or do you need to do both?
If I were single.
Yeah, an author, yes.
And did not have five children.
Yes.
I would live very comfortably by my craft.
Spanish language.
In Spanish,
okay.
Yes, in Spanish.
But because
in English, well, I'm exploring that.
Okay.
I'm actually getting into that right now.
Right, so in other words, you can make more money doing English, is what you're saying.
I think so.
Okay. So Latinos don't want to read books as much?
Latinos want to read books, but they are looking for books that speak to them.
Yes.
And Latin American writers are not giving them those kind of books. Maybe Mariana Enriquez just recently won an award.
Yes.
She's like a Stephen King in Spanish.
Okay. So modern, I guess, right?
So you see, if Latin American writers who are writing in Spanish, who are exploring...
Yes.
Genre books,
right?
Science fiction, horror,
yes.
They are going to sell.
Interesting, okay.
They are going to sell.
How about that guy, was it Gabriel Marquez? What was that?
Gabriel Garcia Marquez.
Yeah, he was a great writer.
Yeah,
what do you think of his stuff?
Oh, he's the precursor of many of us.
Like a forerunner, I mean, guys, right?
Yeah. And he's the father of a kind of literature that combined fantasy and realism.
Right.
And he did very good.
Was it one about my putas or something?
I didn't read that one.
But what was it?
El Diario de Mis Putas Tristes.
That's one, yeah.
That's one.
Yeah.
But the most famous is Cien Años de Soledad.
Oh, yeah, I heard of that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Amor en los Tiempos del Cólera. Those are his two main works.
Wow.
His two great novels.
Interesting.
I would say those two.
So could English readers benefit from reading that in translation? Some of his books and even some of
if
your books?
That depends on the translator. I mean, some translators make the book actually better. My translator, Jessica Powell, she makes my books better in English.
Good.
You come out with a better book.
Yes.
But there are other translators that...
So it depends on the translator.
Depends on the translator.
I see. But Pedro, you seem like a humble guy, you know, very down to earth. You even asked me to ask you, what is your greatest weakness in your life and also in your work? Are you perfect or not?
No, I'm not perfect.
We're not perfect.
My greatest weakness, is kind-hearted people.
Wow.
I'll do anything for a kind-hearted person.
Like your wife.
Like my wife. because we live in a world that is not exactly full to the brim with kind-hearted people.
Yes, definitely.
You have to find them, and when I find them, I just surrender to them.
Oh, it's beautiful. But Love University, you know, our whole concept is to extend loving energy without expectation, to love others, ourselves, and a higher nature.
Yes.
So the whole idea is that, you know, we all have love inside, but the more we express it, the more it comes back.
Yes.
And you're right, you know, kind-heartedness is a great trait to develop within ourselves and others. Now let me ask you, Pedro, sometimes when you suffer a great obstacle or even a distraction or a challenge, we become humbler and weaker, but also in a good way.
Yes.
What have you overcome in your life? Has there been any challenges personally that you've overcome that made you a better writer and person?
Well, I'd say I've been through rough patches in my life.
What's the worst thing that happened to you, let's say?
The worst thing?
Yes.
I can say that there's a worst thing that has happened to me. But difficulties in when I used to publish with the big publishing houses that, you know, limited the distribution of my book.
Yes.
And I was low to see,
yes,
that I could be free,
ah,
from that.
Yes.
I was very slow to see. I had to believe that I could do better.
Yes. So do you have a self-esteem crisis that you didn't think you were good enough at one time?
It's more of an ignorance kind of thing. I didn't know that what I could do.
Yes.
And that I could do it.
Yes.
You know, have my own books published and administered by myself, and, you know, get more money by it.
Yes.
And get more distribution doing it myself.
Yes.
It took a long time for me to actually see that.
Right. They can do more with your talents. So you have,
yes,
more ability.
Because you believe, no, I need to, these people know better than me.
Ah, I see.
These people, right, know the ropes.
Right.
I need them. Without them, I'm nothing.
Yes,
you
exactly.
See, breaking away from those shackles.
Right.
It took me a while.
Yeah, it happened
it
to
took me.
Me
a
when
while.
I first wrote my first book, Love Types, it was very successful. And I had another book in store, but they told me, oh, you better wait until the other one comes out.
Uh-huh.
So I kind of stopped writing as a result. Because I was waiting for them to tell me when to write. So that's a problem, too.
Right? That's
the
problem.
The publisher, yes, wants you to hold back a little bit, you know,
mm-hmm,
based on, you know, timing or market or something.
No, that's exactly, I would give you the completely contrary advice.
Right, to keep writing.
You
right.
keep writing.
Yes.
You keep writing. Because
yes.
Our time on Earth is limited.
Exactly.
And if you have a lot of ideas,
yes,
you need to be constantly getting them out.
Yeah, because I have a lot of ideas. Now, how do you do all discipline for writing? Do you write a certain number of hours per day?
I write in the morning, from 9 o'clock to 2
no matter
p.m.
What?
No matter what, I have to have an output of 2,000 words.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Every day. And I have my ideas all sketched out for the rest of my
okay.
For so, the rest of my life.
So you don't let your family or other people, get in the way?
In the morning, everybody's at work.
Yes.
Or at school.
Yes.
So I'm free.
Okay.
But once 2 p.m. hits,
that's it.
It's lunchtime,
right,
and I spend all my time with my family.
Okay. And your friends.
To the night.
Now, Pedro, if you can tweet one phrase to the world, I'm going to see how creative you are. Spur of the moment. What phrase would that be?
Do it. Start writing. Start writing. Start writing.
Okay.
Many writers, they believe themselves to are writers, but they, I don't know how to start.
Yeah, they think about it, but they don't do it.
They have a mental shackle, or they have a mental chain.
Yes.
Start writing.
Right, no matter what.
Start writing.
If it's good or bad, I mean, you probably think it's not good, maybe, but you're your own
self-critic. But you have to start writing to see.
Yes.
We have to see if it's good or bad.
Right, exactly.
We cannot see if it's good or bad if it doesn't exist.
Exactly. I tend to over-research, though. I don't know if you ever have this problem, right? I research and then I'm not writing, but researching.
Yeah.
What do you do about that problem?
I research the things that I need to know for my narrative to appear
authentic
and, right, and true.
Right, but you stop at a certain point.
But I stop.
How much research? A month? A week?
Maybe a month.
Okay, and then you write 100%.
And then you write, okay, and then whatever it is that you don't feel that you need, because once you have the framework,
yes,
you have researched the framework, and you have the lingo,
yes,
and you have the basic things that I have to be true.
Yes.
Then I think you can invent. You can make up the
yes.
rest.
makes sense.
And it will seem like it's true too.
Well, the part I might have to dedicate my first novel to you. So now you inspired me.
All right.
I've written 5 nonfiction psychology books.
Yeah.
But now I think a novel would be fun.
Good to go for it. Go for it. That's right.
So Pedro, you talk about superheroes. What is your superhero? I mean, either in the comic books or maybe in real life or in history, mm-hmm. is there one person that really excites and motivates you, you know, in life? Or even it could be a family member too.
My superhero is my wife, and maybe one of my sons, because my wife and this particular son have this ability of never looking at something in a bad light.
Oh, okay.
No matter what it is.
Wow. Optimistic.
They're very optimistic, even when whatever is happening is obviously a bad thing. Yes. They tend to see the good thing in everything.
Wow.
And that is something that I wish it could happen to me naturally. But it's something that I would I'm learning.
That's great. I wrote a book called The 3 Secrets of Happiness, and basically it's kind of like a mini fable, but it's about a monk that teaches a psychiatrist the 3 Secrets of Happiness from a spiritual sense. And one of them is actually optimism. And they say the optimistic people actually have more luck in life. They're better because...
They're very lucky. That's true.
Yeah, because always looking to find that silver lining.
That is... But then my wife is it's the luckiest person that you can ever meet.
She runs into people that help her in some way.
Exactly.
Things that you never would have thought would have happened.
Uh-huh. Yes. Exactly. That's exactly right.
That's pretty cool. So you can improve your luck and win the lottery if you're optimistic.
Well, yeah.
More or less.
Yeah, she needs to buy the ticket. We need to buy the ticket.
So, Pedro, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. Now, what are you most excited about, I mean, in terms of your upcoming projects and things you're working on?
Oh, I'm very excited about my project in film.
Oh, okay.
This coming year, I am going to dedicate it to film.
Okay, is that Rainbow you have coming out? That one?
Well, the Rainbow already came out, but I have a couple of short yes. films that I'm going to, that I want to produce, and two full-length features
yes.
that I want to start, you know, producing.
Yes.
This year is going to be all film.
All film.
All
okay.
film.
Interesting. So that's your passion to put it on the screen. All your novels.
Yes. Fantastic. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Where can people get a hold of you? Like a website? Do you have any products that you can offer them? Any things?
They can follow me on Twitter. My handle is Pedro Cavilla, just like my name.
Yes.
And in Facebook, Pedro Cavilla again, and in Instagram is Pedro Cavilla, it's my name, Pedro Cavilla, PedroCavilla. You can find me there, and all my books are on Amazon.
Okay, perfect.
Ebooks yes. and physical books.
You ever do any public speaking? I know you're in Dominican, but you came out here to the Miami Fair.
Yeah, well, wherever I'm invited, I say yes.
Okay, very good. I like that. It's open. Pedro's been wonderful having you on the show. So Love
it's
University, our topic is to love others, ourselves, and a higher nature, and I think you personify that.
I agree.
So this is Dr. Alex Avila. So Love University students, go to Pedro's website, English and Spanish, I would imagine, right? There's both books. And also the idea is that we want to help people, you know, so mm-hmm. I think kind-heartedness is what we talked about.
Yeah.
And also spirituality. Mm-hmm. Spirituality permeates all parts of life, so we can have better lives and also help people when we do that.
I agree with you.
Pedro's been a pleasure having you on the show.
It's been a pleasure to
have you back on the show and collaborate with you.
Thank you. Thank you.
So Love University students, if you have any questions, you can email us at loveuniversitylove@gmail.com, 310-226-8090. Visit us at loveuniversity.love. Like us on Facebook at Love University Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @LoveUPodcast. Until next time, Love University students, put away your notepads, your books, your iPads, and this is Dr. Alex Avila.